Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning. How's everybody up there?
We're good. Producer Doing Matt well. Went on vacation, though, so he's out for a week. We're in here, though, having a good time, talking Pirates, talking a bunch of other things. Okay, Gerrit Cole striking everybody out. I don't know how much you've seen of him this year. Seems like people are guessing he's throwing that fastball a lot more with a lot more velocity. How can you get to Gerrit Cole? Can he be had tonight?
He could be had. He's been had before, but it's a matter of capitalizing on mistakes. I mean, he doesn't make many mistakes, and he has enough velocity. He has a good enough breaking ball. He has a good enough arsenal to get away with his mistakes. That's the problem and with facing him. But, you know, he's been had before. If he's on the top of his game and he's hitting his spots and he's keeping the ball down and out of the middle of the plate, he's going to be tough to hit. I mean, he has one of the better arms in baseball and some of the better breaking stuff in baseball, and he commands it well. So that's why, you know, he's had the success he's had since he's been down here in Houston. I mean, we obviously got a glimpse of it. I guess it was his second full season where I think he won 18 games. You know, and then he had a couple rough years, really. Like, I mean, for his standards, a couple rough years before he got moved. But he's nasty. He's one of the best in the business.
He's always thrived on emotion, too, John. Do you suspect he'll have some extra gas at least early on tonight?
No question. Yeah, I'm sure he's so fired up to pitch in this game, and you kind of hope that being that he's fired up that he'll make some mistakes. You never know. You know, I'm guessing we'll see the upper 90s fastball, and you know, but sometimes when you got a little more adrenaline or maybe a little more emotion than normal, you maybe try to overthrow a breaking ball. And to be honest with you, when I see Gerrit Cole give up a home run or make mistakes, it's usually when he hangs a breaking ball. And so, you know, and if he doesn't, again, he's tough to score on because, you know, his stuff is that good. But, you know, you hope maybe if he does have a little extra emotion and maybe he's trying to overcook things a little bit, maybe he hangs your breaking ball or two.
Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing. Our friend John Wehner joining us here on the aforementioned Fan Morning Show. Okay, a lot has been made of Reynolds, and rightly so. A lot of it has been made of Josh Bell's power numbers, and rightly so. Lost in all of that, I think a story that we're not talking about enough is the Pirates seem to have found a leadoff hitter in Kevin Newman, John.
No question about that either. I mean, this guy has proved everybody wrong. I think he might have had a little bit of a chip on his shoulder after he, you know, recovered from that little mishap, that injury, because he didn't have a good September last year. I think a lot of people wrote him off, but you know, you're a first round pick for a reason. When you're a first round pick, you have talent. And I think finally, I think he's settled in and felt more comfortable, and he's gained confidence at the plate. And doing some amazing things. I mean, he's a totally different player than we saw in September. And he's playing a nice shortstop, too. I mean, he's a solid player. You could tell he's a little, you know, he's a gamer. He knows how to play the game the right way. He's fundamentally sound. He has a great approach at the plate. He's covering a lot of ground. I like his patience. There's been a lot of times up there that he's behind in a count 0-2, and they're throwing him some pretty good breaking balls that he's able to take and or maybe waste, and then he gets back into the count, and then he ends up getting a pitch to hit. He has really surprised me. I knew he was talented, but I didn't know he was this good a hitter. I'm very impressed with his approach and his patience at the plate and what he's been doing, and he's played a nice shortstop too.
It's funny, John, about 90% of what you just said could probably also be applied to what a lot of us are thinking about Brian Reynolds right now, at least so much in his offensive approach at the plate, the patience, the willingness to foul pitches off, to wait for the right pitch and the right count. At what point do we get past the novelty of Brian Reynolds as a rookie coming up and doing what was somewhat unexpected, and do people around baseball just embrace the fact that this guy is now an everyday player?
Yeah, he should be an everyday player. I think it's pretty telling that he's getting, you know, especially when the team had the five outfielders and he was still getting written into that lineup every day. Because remember last year we didn't see that with Austin Meadows. Meadows came up and was so hot, then all of a sudden Meadows was losing starts. Well, Reynolds has stayed in that lineup throughout this hot streak, and I have to assume that he's not coming out unless something crazy happens. And it'll be interesting to see when we move forward and we start getting back into division and we start facing teams that he has to face a second or third or a fourth time through, and to see if they can exploit anything and maybe find some holes or whatever. But I mean, I'd be shocked that he continues to hit 360 or even 350. I mean, at some point in time, it's got to come down a little bit, doesn't it? I mean, nobody hits 350, do they? I don't know. When's the last time? I don't know what the leaders were in that batting average last year. Was it 350, 360? Was it 320, 330? I don't know. But most guys, especially rookies, don't hit 350 or 360. So, but I think, yeah, he's the everyday guy. There's no way you take him out of the lineup unless something crazy happens and there's an extended over. But the way he hits and the way he approaches the game, I just don't see a guy with that kind of talent and that kind of potential at the plate to have a long slump. I think he's a guy that shortens his slump because he can figure things out quickly.
I think Mookie Betts hit like 345 last year or something like that, 344, which is ridiculous in this day and age. John Wehner joining us here, Fan Morning Show. I heard, and it was Musgrove after his last start. Archer had talked about the two-seamer before. Are guys with the Pittsburgh Pirates right now maybe still throwing too many two-seamers, and when they have success, they're just throwing the four-seamer by people?
You know, I like that. I like the idea, though, the guys going upstairs when they're heading the count to get, you know, to finish the four-seamer up. I mean, it depends. I mean, some guys have better two-seamers than others. You know, I know Archer's last time out, his slider was filthy. It was nasty, and he, you know, he had a little better command of his fastball. I know this. Four-seamers down the middle aren't going to work. You're not going to have a lot of success with that if you throw too many of them. Two-seamers that are well-located, or, you know, if you keep them down around the knees, and especially on the outer third of the plate, those are usually tough pitches to do much damage to, and you're usually going to get ground balls. I just think that no matter what you throw, you have to throw it in good spots. And in this day and age where everybody seems like every hitter up there wants to hit a home run, it's like the 3-point shot in the NBA. Everybody wants to go and shoot threes, hit home runs. And if you throw a two-seamer, a slider, a forkball, a changeup, a four-seamer up in the middle of the plate, they're going to hit the three. They're going to hit it out of the ballpark. It's just, you know, so I think, to me, I'm shocked that I don't see more pitchers working down and away consistently and throwing strikes. I don't know if it's because they can't, but I see guys that go down and away for strikes and then they go back in, or they go up, or they go, I mean, it's like, make them beat you down and away where everybody wants to try to hit the ball 500 feet. See if they can handle the ball down and away. Live out there for a while. So again, I think I prefer a two-seamer over a four-seamer, to get back to your question, because I'm rambling here, but it still has to be located in this day, because, you know, everybody wants to hit homers.
I know it's different than when you were playing, John, but how weird can the atmosphere be in a major league clubhouse where the ball players live in that room? They spend hours in there. And then reporters come in for an hour or two a day, and it can sometimes be in the midst of a contentious atmosphere, whether it be the players or the manager, Mickey Callaway and Jason Vargas going after a Newsday reporter yesterday in New York. How odd can that be when you're having maybe one of the worst days of the year, and a guy comes and asks you questions about it, and maybe you just don't like the look on his face?
You know, I don't really recall being in a situation like that. I mean, obviously there's times where, you know, there's a little too much emotion or too much going through somebody's head, or, you know, one guy might be a little ticked off about something or another. That whole situation, I got to wonder, with the reporter talking to Callaway, like, did he ask the question, see you tomorrow? Like, was it a question, meaning that his job's on the line? I can't imagine. Other than that, why would they get so worked up? I don't get it. Like, I didn't see the whole thing. I just know that that was the question asked or the statement made, see you tomorrow. But usually as players, if you see somebody getting heated or there's a confrontation, whether it be by teammates, whether it be, you know, reporters or whatever, you kind of just, you know, obviously you stick that rabbit ear out there and you want to know what's going on, but and maybe fisheye the situation, but you just kind of, you know, stay away from it really until, you know, somebody will obviously come in and break it up. But you don't see that very often. I guess maybe you see in New York or, you know, maybe the bigger markets. I think New York or Boston, where guys, you know, might get a little carried away reporter wise. But I haven't seen that much, you know. And I think the folks here in Pittsburgh are very respectful, and maybe too much so, as far as, you know, I think they do a good job of covering the team and protecting the team and not really trying to bury them or look for headlines.
Last thing, got about 30 seconds left. Colony's running around, but one of the things on his agenda today, he's got to buy a new lawnmower. He's insistent. He's never had the self-propelled, and he doesn't want a self-propelled. Is that an error or not?
He's a fool if he doesn't want a self-propelled lawnmower. Self-propelled lawnmowers are, mine's like kind of slowing down now, and my back's breaking because I have to push that thing a little more than I used to. Self-propelled is the way to go, Jimmy. Don't torture yourself. It makes life so much easier. Like, I'm ready to get a new one because mine's like mine needs a little pushing here and there. It's getting a little bit up there in age, but yeah, that's. Who doesn't have a self-propelled lawnmower?
They don't even make them anymore.
I know. Jim Colony
does. I was going to say, what, are you going to the junkyard to pick up a new lawnmower?
It's like a car with wind-down windows, I told him.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. I don't understand why you would do that.
Why would you do that, Jim? Rock is now firmly on our side.
John, I don't live on a palatial. I don't live on a palatial estate in Butler County. I have a very small yard, quite honestly, so I don't need all this stuff.
Do you have a weed whacker? Do you have
yes.
hand clippers?
Well, I have both, actually.
I mean, nobody's out there with the hand clippers. It's the same thing.
Well, I am. Swing. I was going to say swing by on your way to the ballpark, but, I'm not in Houston. So.
Well, he has plenty of time because he uses a self-propelled one. He could stop by and do yours twice.
He could
both of them in the time it takes you to do your yard.
He could. I'd call him up, except he probably lose his phone.
Well, and
That's a good. I'll give you the home number. I'll come and cut your grass if you need me to. Just give me a call. I'll bring out my self-propelled lawnmower and I'll cut it for you.
I'm going to do that, actually.
John Wehner.
Good.
John, thanks, John. Enjoy Houston and then in through Milwaukee. We'll talk again.
All right. Have a good week.
Bye, man. A fool.
That's
he called
I,
you.
I heard that.
A fool. Jim's got an update. We're running behind. Do your update.
That's all right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.